Christmas and the Story of Creation was presented by Jack Crabtree on December 22, 2019 at Reformation Fellowship's annual Christmas celebration. The copyright for this recording is held by Jack Crabtree and is being made available to you by Gutenberg College. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. Contributions to Jack Crabtree may be made at www.soundinterp.wordpress.com. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
I want to tell you what I believe is the truth. I do so by telling you a story. The story is fictional. It didn't really happen, at least not in the way that I shall tell it, but I believe it tells the truth. So here we go. Before the beginning, before anything existed at all, when there was nothing but a great big patch of empty black nothingness, God commenced to think up a story that he thought would be worth telling. It took him 2 full years to think it up. In the first year, God decided on the main parts of the story and on how basically he wanted the story to go. He started thinking about it in January. In that first month, God dreamt up time, dreamt up space, and decided that his story would take place in time and space. He also dreamt up all the important things that don't exist in space and time, things like right and wrong, good and evil, justice and injustice, love and hate, and things like beauty, pain, pleasure, and all the other things that would make reality what it is, but would never exist concretely in time and space. So by the last day of January, God had finished designing the nature of time and space and all the invisible things that would never exist in time and space. In February, God invented the idea of matter, the stuff that things would be made of if they didn't exist in space. And God decided that things made of matter would not last forever. Things made of matter would always be falling apart, dying or dissolving, and would eventually just cease to be altogether. He decided that for the first part of his story, the reality that he would create would not be eternal. It would come to an end. So by the last day of February, God had finished dreaming up matter, the stuff that things would be made of in the initial part of his story. In March, God dreamt up all the different sorts of things that would be made out of matter. All the various things that would exist in time and space, from viruses, algae, and neutrons to whales, redwood trees, and galaxies, he decided all the different things that he wanted to exist in the space-time universe that he would create. So by the last day of March, God had finished imagining all the different sorts of material things he wanted to make, everything in time and space that he wanted to play some role in his story. In April, God dreamt up all the immaterial things that would not exist in space. He thought up every sort of angel, every sort of spirit or demon, and every other thing that, while it would exist in time, would not occupy space. So by the last day of April, God had finished thinking up all the different sorts of immaterial beings that he wanted to make in order to play a part in his story. In May, God invented the idea of a human being. He decided that human beings would, on the one hand, be like animals, but on the other hand, they would be like God. Like animals and like the world that they would live in, human beings would die. They would not live forever. Like God and very unlike animals, human beings would be persons who could be either good or evil. They would be beings who would be blamed when they were bad and rewarded when they were good. So by the last day of May, God had finished planning what he wanted a human being to be. In June, God thought up the idea of eternal life. The life that he would initially give human beings would be made to come to an end. So God dreamt up a way that human life could be recreated and transformed into something that would never end. He dreamt up a way for human existence to be set free from death and decay. So by the last day of June, God had finished planning how human beings could be made to have eternal life. In July, God figured out what desires and behaviors would make a human being good, and what desires and behaviors would make a human being evil. And furthermore, God decided that for the sake of the story he wanted to tell, every ordinary human being that he made, he would make to be evil. No ordinary human being would be good. So by the last day of July, God had finished imagining what good and evil would look like in a human life, and had decided that he would create every ordinary human being to be evil. In August, God figured out what the just response would be to human beings who were evil. He decided that he would punish each person for the evil that he had done, and then afterward to let him be finally and completely destroyed by death. But God also decided that for the sake of the story he wanted to tell, he would choose a special group of human beings for whom he would do a really good thing. Instead of punishing them and letting them go to death and destruction like they deserved, he was going to give them the eternal life that he had previously planned to make possible, even though they didn't deserve it. These people would be called the chosen of God. So by the last day of August, God had finished planning how evil people would be punished and how he would pick out for himself a special group called the chosen of God, who would be given eternal life instead of punishment and destruction. In September, God conceived of yet another special group. This group of people would be known as the Jews. They would have a unique history, identity, and religion, and they would have a special role to play. God would promise them good things that were especially for them, and he would place obligations upon them that were theirs and theirs alone. They would be called the people of God, for God would make them his special people. For the sake of the story he wanted to tell, God would make his people, the Jews, to be persistently unrighteous and stubbornly rebellious. Then, to give expression to the profound depths of his own merciful character, God would script history so that in the end, in an act of great mercy, God would give to the Jews every good thing that he had ever promised them. So by the last day of September, God had finished thinking up the idea of a stubborn and rebellious people who were special to him, and how at the end of the first part of created reality, he would show them great mercy by giving them all the good things that he had promised them throughout their history. In October, God decided that his story would come in two parts. The first part of the story would take place in an initial created order that was subject to decay, death, and destruction. The second part of the story would take place in an entirely new and different created order, an eternal created order that was not subject to death and decay and would never end in destruction. This new created order would be the eternal dwelling place for every human being who is a member of the chosen of God. God imagined and designed the nature and character of the eternal existence that his chosen ones would enjoy in this new created order. So by the last day of October, God had finished designing the nature of created reality in the final everlasting age and the nature of the everlasting existence of his chosen ones. In November, God decided to divide the first part of his story into several different ages. He decided the number of different ages, and then he imagined what the distinctive character of each and every age would be. Then God decided that the final age of the first part of his story, an age that he would call the kingdom of God, would be a special and distinctive time when God would fulfill all the promises that he had made to his chosen people, the Jews, throughout the entire span of their history. In that final age of the initial created order, he would grant to them every good thing that he had purposed to give them. So by the last day of November, God had finished designing the nature and character of each and every age of the first stage of created reality. In December, God decided to have a main character in his story. he would be known as Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus would be the centerpiece of everything that happened in God's story. Everything that existed in his story and everything that happened in it would find its meaning and significance in relation to Jesus. Jesus would be at the center of God's plan to rescue his chosen ones from their condemnation to death and destruction. Jesus would be at the center of God's plan for the Jews. He would be the agent who would bring it about that all of God's promises to the Jewish people were fulfilled. He would reign as king in the promised kingdom of God during the final age of the first stage of created reality. He would serve as God's most important prophet, revealing God's purposes to the world. He would function as the priest whose intercession would obtain mercy for all those chosen of God. This Jesus, therefore, would be the most important, the most exalted, and the most honored individual in all of created reality. God decided to make this man Jesus to reflect the exact image of his own invisible person. He would make Jesus the unique representative of himself within the story of created reality. Jesus would be the very individual person of God himself translated into the medium of a human life. The story that God wanted to tell would feature Jesus. The entire story was for him, about him, with a view to him, and intended to honor him. So by the last day of December, God had finished determining the nature and character of his son Jesus and the nature of his role and status in created reality. Now, since it was in December that God conceived the idea of creating his son, the Messiah, to be the primary character in his story, it is in December that we celebrate the entrance of God's Messiah into history. Every year on December 25th, we celebrate the fact that the Messiah was introduced into God's story. The Son of God, the most exalted being in all of reality, the very stamp of God's own individual identity, the visible image of the invisible God, the hero and rescuer of all who belong to the chosen people of God, entered into history when Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago. We celebrate that fact whenever we celebrate Christmas. That was the end of the first year of God's planning. In the second year of God's planning, God determined each and every particular detail of his entire story. He planned out and conceived every detail of every story of every created being that would ever come to exist in the reality that God would bring into being. Every detail of every story was planned so that it conformed and was in harmony with the primary elements and the broad outline of the story as he had conceived it during the first year of his planning. And most notably, every detail of every story was created with a view to the central and exalted role of the Messiah, the unique one around whom the whole story was meant to turn. So at the end of the second year, God had designed a complete, detailed plan of everything that would ever be and of everything that would ever occur throughout the whole course of the story that he wanted to bring into being. That was the end of the second year of God's planning. Then, at the beginning of the story, on January 1st of year one of this present created reality, God said, "Let the plan become reality." And the plan began to become real. God began to make real each and every detail of all that he had conceived in his plan. And everything that now is and everything that now occurs is exactly what it is because it is part of the preconceived plan of God. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we know that we cannot save ourselves. We need you to reach out to us, to rescue us from evil and death. That is why Christmas is so wonderful. When you sent Jesus, your Son, into the world, you reached out to us in a very real and tangible way. Thank you for that gift. Please teach us day by day how great a salvation he has brought us.